Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
You're just moments away from team coverage of the deadly shooting at UNC Chapel Hill. What we know about the relationship between the professor who was killed and the student charged with his murder.
And it looks like flooding is going to be the biggest impact from Dahlia here. We have a WRAL weather alert day for Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll show you the newest information that just came down from the National Hurricane Center.
We will continue to move forces in to be ready to respond at Florida's request.
Ready to act. Federal agencies are on standby, prepared to help Florida once a storm pushes through.
We're following two big stories this noon hour. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to our team coverage of the UNC shooting, but first we begin with Hurricane Idalia. The storm is still on track to become a major hurricane, making landfall in northwest Florida tomorrow morning. This was what it looked like in Cuba as the storm swirled toward the Sunshine State. Idalia caused brown floodwaters to swamp small fishing villages near Havana.
Thousands of people fled their homes for higher ground. There were no reports of injuries. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the rain arrives here and how much we'll see, Elizabeth.
We'll likely see it mid-afternoon tomorrow. I'm going to walk you through the timeline in just a minute. Let's take a look at Hurricane Idalia and what we are seeing right now. It's moving north at 14 miles per hour with winds at 85 miles per hour. So it's strengthening a little bit since the previous advisory that was at 5 o'clock this morning. We take a look at the forecast track here, and you can see at 8 a.m. winds at 125 as it's making landfall there north of Tampa on the northwest coast of Florida. It continues to track along the coast and sort of hugging the coast of North and South Carolina, passing by Wilmington and taking a right turn. Of course, our part of North Carolina is not necessarily in the forecast van, but we will still see some heavy rain and the potential for some strong winds. At the end of the track here, it slows down as it approaches Bermuda, and it may sit close enough to the coast of North Carolina not to continue to bring too much rain and wind, but to send a lot of swells back our way, which can do a lot of damage in terms of eroding our beaches. Let's take a look at Futurecast. Starting off with today, a little bit of sunshine this afternoon, and then the potential for a few isolated thunderstorms later on. But let's get on into Wednesday. We'll start off with cloud cover on Wednesday morning, and then by lunchtime, the potential for an isolated shower, but by mid-afternoon, we're beginning to see the rain pushing in. By 5 o'clock, it's become heavy around the triangle, and it's pushed all the way to the North Carolina, Virginia line by the time we get to 7 or 8 o'clock. And from that point on, we'll continue to see waves of rain. And coming up, I'll show you when we'll likely see the rest of that moving out and how much we'll see total. Franklin is a very impressive storm at Category 4 right now. It is likely to stay off of the coast of Bermuda, but they will still see some heavy rain and some strong winds. That storm will continue to move out into the Atlantic. This one, of course, helping to produce some erosion and definitely some rip current danger, and then followed by Idalia over the weekend could cause even more issues for our coast. I'll explain more about that coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Be prepared before severe weather strikes with the WRAL weather app. Make sure you have the WRAL weather app installed on your phone. Don't forget to turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. The WRAL weather app is free wherever you download your apps. The accused UNC shooter will be in court in 2 hours in Orange County. This morning, WRAL broke the news that Tai Lei Chi is charged with murdering his faculty advisor, Zijie Yan.
WRAL's Sarah Kruger just spoke with the district attorney in this case and joins us now live outside the courthouse with new information and what we can expect in court. Sarah?
Jeff, I've confirmed with the DA that the judge has approved our camera in the courtroom. We will be able to record audio and video, and of course, we will be doing so at 2 o'clock. Officials have given no indication of a possible motive, but online posts are showing the suspect had some grievances about the victim.
Tweets from Tai Lei Chi indicate unhappiness with his job and personal life.
writing in October of last year that people accused him of being lazy. He also makes critical comments about the principal investigator, or PI, who we now know to be his faculty advisor and victim, Zhe Yan. In August 2022, writing, he should have more experience to handle with these girls and tattletales. Qi studied at Wuhan University in China and Louisiana State University before coming to UNC Chapel Hill for his doctorate. Orange County DA Jeff Nieman says because English is Qi's second language, there will be a Mandarin interpreter in court either by phone or in person. WRAL has reported that investigators say they have not been able to locate the gun used in the crimes. According to a warrant, the gun was a 9mm pistol. Nieman says, to his knowledge, it still has not been found.
To my knowledge, the gun has not been recovered yet.
Is that a concern as the investigation and the prosecution moves forward?
That is certainly an important fact, important factor.
The Orange County DA does not pursue the death penalty in any cases. That's a promise he made during his campaign and one he says he definitely will be upholding in all cases moving forward. So if convicted, the maximum punishment for Qi would be life in prison. Again, that court appearance today here in Hillsboro at 2 o'clock. We will be there and hope to learn some more information. Jeff and Renee.
A lot of eyes on that, certainly. Sarah Kruger, live for us this noon. Sarah, thank you.
We're learning more this noon hour about the professor who died in that shooting. Police believe the gunman targeted Professor Zhe Yan. Now they're searching for the motive.
WRL's Ken Smith is here now with how the professor and Tai Lei Chi are connected. Ken?
Well, you know, in a word, Renee and Jeff, the two are linked academically. By all accounts, these were two men with brilliant minds in the field of applied physical sciences. Professor Yan's death is a tremendous loss to UNC Chapel Hill. Zhe Yan was an associate professor at UNC Chapel Hill. He worked closely with suspected shooter Tai Lei Chi in a research group headed by Professor Yan. Professor Yan was also Chi's academic advisor. WRL has learned Qi, a doctoral student, and Professor Yan wrote several academic papers together over the last few years. This picture, taken just months ago for a UNC article, shows the two men along with other members of Yan's group. The article said Yan's group worked on a project called optical tweezers, a process using light that could help develop nanorobots within cells. Yan's official page on UNC's website says he was a PhD and joined the university's Department of Applied Physical Sciences in 2019. Well, UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz called Professor Yan's death a devastating loss to the university. Now, before coming to UNC, Professor Yan worked at Clarkson University in upstate New York and the University of Chicago. Renee?
Ken, thank you.
Thousands of students were locked down for hours yesterday, many hunkering down in classrooms and lecture halls. WRL's Monica Casey is on campus right now. Monica, what are you hearing?
Well, this is where everything started here behind me inside the Caudill Laboratory building. You can see there is a memorial started under the sign right there. We've seen students and staff dropping off flowers here on the ground. Campus overall is quiet today with a somber feeling around what's usually a bustling area. Yesterday, many students were stuck in a different kind of quiet, sheltering in place. We spoke with Rebecca Kreitzer, a UNC public policy professor, about her experience. She's been at UNC since 2015, and she has concerns about what she sees as a lack of communication from the university. Kreitzer believes the guidance is too general, especially when different halls and rooms have various shapes, sizes, and exits.
A lot of our students know what to do when there's this sort of situation on campus because they grew up going to public schools in an era where there were frequently shooting drills. And several of this, you know, many of my students have lived through threats of campus shootings or have lived through school shootings.
And UNC has an online guide about how to lock and barricade different kinds of doors. We have heard about some issues from some students about getting different doors locked or barricaded yesterday. We've reached out to the university for a bit more information about if they're investigating any of those issues at this time. Jeff?
Monica Casey there, campus UNC Chapel Hill for us this noon. Monica, thank you.
We have extensive coverage of this developing story on WREL.com. We will also continue to bring you updates throughout this newscast as they become available.
Police at NC State are searching for a person wanted for a reported sex crime on campus. It's the second in less than 72 hours. The school sent out a Wolf Alert just before 10:30 last night about a reported assault at Lee Hall. Police say the victim and the suspect are both students and they met through a dating app. They say they know who the suspect is, but he has not yet been taken into custody. The Wolf Alert was the second of the day reporting a sex crime. The first came out early Monday morning about a reported sexual battery at Owen Hall. That was on Saturday night that took place. In that case, NC State Police say two men were responsible. They do not have a description of the men. The university says it has cameras in and around Owen Hall, and police are now reviewing that video.
We now know the name of the student who was found dead near Fayetteville State University's campus. 22-year-old Maya Barfield was from Greenville. FSU campus police found her Saturday in a residence on Coley Drive, not far from campus. They were responding to a well-being check from family members. Both FSU police and Fayetteville police are investigating.
Next at noon, a Wisconsin deputy gets exposed to fentanyl during a search. Hear him describe how fast it took hold of him and what his partner did to save him.
Also, Gen Zers are more likely to share their location with others. The reasons that generation is open to letting others know exactly where they are.
Plus, the shooting at UNC affected all of Chapel Hill. At 12:30, what city schools are doing after a scary first day of classes.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Walmart, Walgreens, and CVS are looking to grab a bigger share of healthcare spending. Today, they're rolling out new healthcare options you previously could only get at a doctor's office. Starting today, testing and treatment for strep, flu, and COVID are now available at Walmart pharmacies in 12 states. Walgreens will soon have similar service in 13 states. CVS will evaluate symptoms and prescribe flu medicine and cough suppressants in 10 states, although it won't offer tests.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news this afternoon. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has just announced that he has a very treatable blood cancer. He is undergoing treatment for multiple myeloma. He says his treatment will continue for the next several months. He says he does expect to work through treatment and he will return to Washington. Fellow lawmakers this afternoon are reaching out to Scalise, offering their well wishes with his news.
A Wisconsin sheriff's deputy is recovering after he was exposed to fentanyl. Body cam video shows the moments after the deputy came in contact with that deadly drug. The deputy was inspecting the inside of a car that had crashed because an accident they say was caused by an overdose. Williams says the drug's effects were almost instant.
I was there. I heard everything. I saw everything. I just couldn't move.
Terrifying as that.
It was terrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
His partner quickly gave him the drug Narcan, which can reverse an opioid overdose. William says it took 2 days for him to feel normal again.
New at noon, another honor for two sisters who helped save a boy's life earlier this summer. WRA's Brian Schrader shows us this morning's emotional reunion. Brian.
And Renee, this is a great story. We covered this story back in June. Someone found an 11-year-old boy in the Neuse River near Milburney Dam with his head down in the water. And as they pulled the boy out, Latia Brown ran over and performed CPR for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, her twin sister, Tamika Mathis, called 911 and helped guide first responders to their precise location. And this morning, the American Heart Association presented them with the Heart Saver Hero Awards, and the boy was there. Jules was there. He's alive and well thanks to the sisters' quick action. They say they had to do something.
if it was my child, I would want somebody to do the same for me. So, and then, like, nobody else moved in the situation. So I kind of, it was like an instinct to just go.
He plays basketball. When he's playing basketball, I'm just like, you know, he's like a walking miracle.
That is for sure. Brown renewed her CPR certification just 2 months before this happened, so it was fresh in her mind. And the American Heart Association says their work is an example of turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education. Last month, Raleigh police honored Brown and Mathis with the RPD Game Changer Award. They said that, you know, these honors are great, but knowing that Jewels is okay is really all the reward they need.
Well, that is awesome. They are amazing. They're heroic and inspiring others to get CPR certified. That does save lives. Brian, thanks.
We are nearing the end of this year's Clear the Shelters event, and there are still plenty of pets that want to be your new family member. Today's featured shelter is Chatham Sheriff's Animal Resource Center. Among their available pets are Snow and Truffle. Snow loves to play and gets along great with other dogs. This sweet girl is 3 years old with lots of love to give. And Truffle is full of energy and is ready to show you how fast she can run. This past weekend, you helped more than 100 pets find their forever homes. We're still waiting to hear back from a few shelters, but during this weekend's adoption event, 109 cats and dogs found new homes. And with just 3 days left in August, more than 1,500 pets have been adopted. And there's plenty more. You can find all the adoption details and how you can help your local shelter on WRL.com/shelters.
It is 12:16. Let's check in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner now with some new information, warnings along our coast.
Yes, so this is new. We do now have a tropical storm watch that's in effect for the southeastern counties along our coast. So that stretches from the South Carolina line all the way up to Surf City. So that's going to be around the Topsail Beach area. It's going to include Wrightsville Beach and, of course, all the south facing beaches there in Brunswick County as well. So likely to see that move to a tropical storm warning probably within the next 12 hours or so. And it's been updated from Charleston back down towards Savannah. That is a tropical storm warning that's in effect. Of course, there's been a hurricane warning now in effect for quite some time along the coast of Florida. That's that purple shaded area. Of course, it looks like a major hurricane making landfall by tomorrow morning there along the coast of Florida. Here's another look at that storm getting a little bit more organized. A lot of the rain with this is to the north. It's moving north at 14 miles per hour with 85 mile per hour winds now. And we take a look at the storm surge threat. That's going to be one of the big things. Of course, very strong winds will do a lot of damage, but the storm surge here just north of Tampa, shaded in red, is going to be up to 12 feet. And that is a lot of water coming into a fairly low-lying area. Around Tampa and Tampa Bay, it could be as much as 9 feet. And of course, obviously, Tampa is a big city, and a lot of people live there very close to sea level. So that's going to be a big deal. Even if it doesn't make landfall in Tampa, just to the north of Tampa, it will still end up with some major issues there with that storm surge. And the storm surge watch continues up here through Savannah and Charleston. It hasn't stretched into North Carolina yet, but I would imagine we'll have at least 3 feet of storm surge along our coast. We take a look at the maximum wind gusts, that storm making landfall here Wednesday morning, winds at about 120 miles per hour. And then it weakens to a tropical storm, brushes by the coast of North Carolina. We could see some gusts up to 60 miles per hour along our coast, but inland over our area, it's likely to be 30 to 35 mile per hour gusts around the triangle, but we could see 40 to 45 mile per hour gusts down in our southern counties. And again, Wilmington showing up at 49, Kitty Hawk at 55. I've seen a potential gust, though, along the Outer Banks, maybe at as much as 70 miles per hour. Our power outage potential is not too high. Our winds, again, at 30, 35, 40 miles per hour will produce some isolated power outages. It's a medium risk, of course, right along the coast. We take a look at some of the other threats. A lot of wind damage isn't likely, some isolated wind damage possible. Our tornado threat for our viewing area is fairly low, except east of Fayetteville. So down along parts of the southern parts of Cumberland County and Sampson County would be where we would want to be watching for tornadoes tomorrow into Thursday. River flooding, not as likely, but flash flooding will be our biggest threat. We take a look at Hurricane Franklin, a very powerful Category 4 storm. It is sending a lot of high surf, heavy waves over to the coast of North Carolina right now. And after it moves out, about. Adelia will be right behind it, and that storm is going to sit. So just sort of watch these strong waves. These wave heights along the coast are going to be 5 to 7 feet. And then once we see Adelia move through, that just continues. So we're going to see days and days of heavy surf, which will eat away at some of our beaches, especially along the Outer Banks. Of course, we also are going to talk about the rainfall totals. I'll get into some specifics about how much rainfall we'll see in different parts of the viewing area, because it will matter where you are. We'll take a look at that. This afternoon, a few isolated storms. We'll expect to see the thunderstorms moving out by this evening. We'll be seeing some rain developing in our area from Adelia as early as mid to late afternoon Wednesday, continuing into Thursday. But right now, Friday looks dry, and Saturday and Sunday do as well, and it will heat up.
Elizabeth, thanks. With Hurricane Adelia making its way toward Florida and with the track set to impact us locally, storm preparations are underway. Today at 4, WRL's Gilbert Bays is in Lumberton looking at how the community is gearing up for heavy rain and the potential for flooding.
And 5 on Your Side has travel advice tonight at 5:30.
Countless items probably get lost at RDU Airport every year, but with the help of an AirTag, one man found his missing item at a random home. We'll tell you what he did next and break down what you should do if you find yourself in a similar situation.
Plus, still ahead this noon, admit it, we've all been guilty of singing the wrong lyrics to a song, right? Well, even better yet, not even know the name of the song at all. One app will make it easier for you to find your favorite song online.
Plus, there's a time and place for everything, including location sharing, the age group that doesn't mind other people tracking their movements.
Roughly 800,000 people in the U.S. suffer a stroke every year, which can result in the loss of mobility and speech. Ted Linder shows us how new advances in artificial intelligence can decode speech and facial expressions from the brain's signals.
New research finds that artificial intelligence can decode speech and facial expressions from the brain signals of stroke survivors, helping people like Ann Johnson, who lost her ability to speak after suffering a stroke, communicate more effectively.
This was a very first proof of principle of intelligible speech synthesis and avatar control from someone who can't speak.
Scientists from UC San Francisco and UC Berkeley implanted a device armed with electrodes into Johnson's brain. The gadget measures the brain activity associated with the movement of her vocal cords, lips, and tongue. Those signals are then sent to a computer armed with artificial intelligence, which transforms her brain signals into written text.
I think you are wonderful.
But that's not all. Using recordings of Johnson's own voice, taken from her wedding toast, the AI technology also converts Johnson's brain signals into spoken word. An avatar Johnson chose appears on screen to speak and give off different facial expressions based on her brain signals.
And this would ideally allow her to communicate using a brain-to-speech neuroprosthesis.
According to the CDC, someone in the U.S. has a stroke every 40 seconds. Strokes are also a leading cause of serious long-term disabilities.
It's amazing. It's Ted Lindner reporting, and researchers say their work with AI is already helping Johnson communicate roughly 5 times faster than with her current device, which is a device that requires her to use her head movements to spell out letters.
Gen Z is becoming more open to sharing their location. Services like Life 360 are meant to keep them safe in everyday tasks. Well, Gen Zers say they benefit from sharing their location for long-distance drives, when going to a new, possibly dangerous place, or just when they share their location with friend groups to ensure that they return home safe. Do you ever get a tune stuck in your head, but you forgot the name or words of a certain song? YouTube may be able to help. Google is testing out a new feature that would allow YouTube users to hum at least 3 seconds of a song to search for it. The platform would then offer relevant video. The feature will first be available to some YouTube Android users.
The first thing that I just want to tell everybody in Florida is listen to your local officials. If they ask you to evacuate, please do so.
And WRL meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner returns with the impact Hurricane Idalia is expected to have here in North Carolina.
Plus, identifying and tracking air pollution across major cities. How two government agencies hope to improve the quality of air we breathe. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Hurricane Idalia is expected to rapidly intensify and could become a Category 3 hurricane before it makes landfall tomorrow in Florida. You're looking at a live picture of Key West, Florida. You can see the waves churning and the trees blowing in the wind.
Hurricane warnings and watches are in effect for parts of the Gulf Coast of Florida, with evacuation orders issued in some of those areas. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with what we can expect along our coast.
Yeah, new in the latest update, they've added parts of our coast to the tropical storm watch. So that's going to be from the South Carolina line all the way up to Surf City, which includes Topsail Beach, and then, of course, all the way down to Sunset Beach. It includes parts of South Carolina, too, including Myrtle Beach. And then you get closer to Charleston and Savannah, and that's a tropical storm warning. I feel confident that our coast will be under that tropical storm warning, too, as the system gets a little bit closer to us, maybe by this evening or early tomorrow morning. Of course, we're looking at tropical storm warnings down the East Coast, and, of course, a hurricane warning down the west coast of Florida and down toward Key West, too, where we just saw the wind and the rain there. Of course, here's a look at the latest view of Hurricane Idalia, looking at winds at 85 miles per hour. It's moving north at 14, likely to make landfall tomorrow morning, sometime between 8, 9, 10 o'clock, as a Category 3 storm with winds at 125 miles per hour. The wind will cause damage, certainly, but the storm surge is going to be pretty big with this, too. Right along the areas where that storm makes landfall, we could see up to 12 feet of storm surge. We could see as much as 1 to 3 feet along our coast. The storm eventually by 8 a.m. Thursday is sitting close to Wilmington. It makes that curve on out to sea. It is likely to sit there about halfway between North Carolina and Bermuda over the weekend. That's going to churn up some heavy surf, some high waves that could cause some beach erosion for us. And of course, we're already seeing that right now with Franklin. So there are going to be numerous days in a row where we're going to have some erosion along our coast. Future cast for us today, looking at some sunshine trying to break through this afternoon and just a small amount of showers and thunderstorms along a cold front that starts to move closer to our area. That front's going to interact with some of the rain that starts to push inland tomorrow and up into our area from Idalia. And that's going to help to produce some rain starting around the middle of the afternoon, but pretty good coverage by the time we get to the evening commute. And then that rain just picks up in intensity overnight and into the day on Wednesday. We'll take it all the way out to around 11 o'clock. We'll take it out a little farther and into Thursday and show you when some of that rain tapers off coming up and how much you can see depending on where you are. Of course, here is Franklin, still a Category 4 storm. It slowly moves off to the north and east and begins to dissipate over the next couple of days.
Elizabeth, thanks. And Governor Cooper has declared a state of emergency for our state that activates the state's emergency operations plan. And it also helps assist the transport of fuel and critical supplies and services ahead of the storm. Our team of meteorologists is tracking Hurricane Idalia to keep you safe. When we're not on air, you could track it all on the WRL weather app. Be sure you have the WRL weather app installed on your phone. Turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It's available for free for Apple and Android devices.
The accused UNC shooter will appear in an Orange County courtroom in about 90 minutes. This morning, WRL broke the news that Tai Lei Chi is charged with murdering his faculty advisor, Zhijie Yan. Officials have not said anything about a possible motive, but posts online from the suspect are showing Chi had some grievances about the person he is now charged with killing. Since English is Chi's second language, there will be a Mandarin interpreter in court, either by phone or in person. Professor Yan was identified as the faculty victim in a deadly shooting that sent the UNC Chapel Hill campus into lockdown. Yan was an associate professor in the Department of Applied Physical Sciences, where he focused on nanoscience technology. The accused gunman worked in Yan's research group at UNC since early 2022.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just in, we just got a statement from UNC on that professor's death. The Carolina community is mourning the loss of Zijie Yan, who was killed in yesterday's on-campus shooting. Yan worked for the university since 2019. The university is in contact with Yan's family and is providing resources and support. That is just part of a statement from UNC just into the newsroom. We will continue to follow the story and bring you any updates on air and online.
The effect of that shooting went beyond the boundaries of UNC Chapel Hill. For a time, Chapel Hill Carbondale City schools were on lockdown on what was a scary first day of classes yesterday. Schools are back in session today. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains what school officials are prioritizing to help students.
Parents and families of students who had their first day of school here at Glenwood Elementary are breathing a sigh of relief today as students are now returning to the classroom. Cars were all along this road and into the parking lot as parents were anxiously waiting to pick up their children from school yesterday after hours of lockdown. Chapel Hill Carbondale City School Superintendent Naya Hamlet sent out a statement explaining that mental health support will be available for students. She says the school system support and wellness team will provide resources to help students have age-appropriate discussions to express their feelings. For many of these students, yesterday was their very first day of school, kindergartners putting on their backpacks for the first time. Students like Sunitha Bullock's granddaughter.
It makes you nervous. It's a little scary and creepy at the same time. You just want to go get your child and you really can't. You're just helpless, actually.
Moments like this make you want to hold those little ones just a little bit tighter. And parents and school system staff are encouraged to go to the school district's care page on their website to find more resources and information. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Chapel Hill.
A security guard at a Florida HBCU is being hailed a hero after he prevented the shooting in Jacksonville from becoming an even bigger tragedy. Before Ryan Perlmutter shot and killed three black people, he parked at nearby Edward Waters University. Some students flagged down campus security officer Lieutenant Antonio Bailey, who quickly confronted Perlmutter. He sped away and later opened fire at the Dollar General before taking his own life. The FBI is investigating the shooting as a hate crime.
Still to come, here comes the heavy equipment, how the U.S. Coast Guard and National Guard are getting what they need in place for water rescue operations after Idalia.
Plus, tracking air pollution from all the everyday products we use. New project involving NASA and NOAA and what they hope to show us. The National Hurricane Center is warning of an increasing risk of life-threatening storm surge and dangerous hurricane-force winds in Florida the next 2 days. Members of the U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Clearwater are preparing Jayhawk helicopters for possible search and rescue operations. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency in 46 counties ahead of Hurricane Idalia, and 1,100 National Guard members are mobilized with 2,400 high-water vehicles and 12 aircraft at their disposal. Idalia could join a notorious list of eye storms now retired because of their extremely devastating, deadly impacts. When a storm name is retired, it's removed from the official name list used by the National Hurricane Center, so you won't see it again. In the Atlantic Ocean, 96 storms have names that have been retired since 1954. Of those, 14 were storms that start with the letter I. That's the most retired of any letter. Those storms include hurricanes Ian, Ida, and Iota.
Earlier this year, NASA launched a satellite to measure air quality over North America. And now it is conducting a separate mission to see the effects of pollution on the ground. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA, is teaming up with NASA to gain a better understanding of the science behind air quality. This project is called AROMA, and it studies how air quality has changed over the years at a higher detail. Researchers are flying over big cities in NASA's DC-8 aircraft, equipped with 30 different instruments to study air quality and chemistry.
Volatile chemical products are a large source of pollutants into the atmosphere. So that's day-to-day products that we all use So those are personal care products, cleaning products, prints, inks, paints on the wall.
They all have an effect. Scientists are taking a close look at several big cities to identify neighborhoods that tend to have more unhealthy air.
Get ready for an end of summer celebration right here in Wake County. We'll talk with organizers about the family-friendly event taking place this weekend.
Plus, tech leaders take center stage in Washington, D.C. next month. What lawmakers hope to do with the information gained at the meeting. As the sun begins to set on summer, a farm in Knightdale is throwing a fun event and partnering with an up-and-coming local brand for a country water celebration. Joining us now is Leslie Logan Brown, the owner of Haven Farm Venue and Shop, Tana Cowan, the creator of Country Water, and Megan Nichols, the founder of NC Eat and Play. Ladies, welcome to the program. Leslie, we'll begin with you. Talk to us about this unique and elegant on-the-farm event.
So excited to have Country Water Celebration hosted here at Haven Farm. Haven Farm is in Knightdale, about 20 minutes from downtown Raleigh, where we host beautiful events that are unique and creative for families to reconnect to each other and to nature.
And Tana, how excited are you to have your creation featured in such a big way?
I am so excited. I have been in the wine industry for many years, and I've always had a passion for Southern wines. So in 2022, I decided to make it more accessible with an easy-to-pop can. That way, responsible adults can enjoy on an outdoor adventure or family gatherings with friends. And being such a new brand, it has been a pleasure working with Leslie here at Haven Farm and her team. And now working with Megan at NC Eat and Play, it has just been a dream come true.
How perfect. Showcasing Southern wines in a pop can. All right. Now, Megan, you're known for hosting farm style events with your popular social media brand, NC Eat and Play. Tell us why you've now partnered with Haven Farm for this event.
I could not be more thrilled to be working with Haven Farm. My team and I have actually been wanting to enhance our event experiences for some time now, and Haven Farm just offers an elevated experience that you can't get anywhere else. So it's been such a pleasure to work with them. When my brand manager came to me excited about Tana's business, the brand, we were so excited, and I knew we'd be working together eventually. And I'm actually also really excited to announce that we are bringing our annual Fall Hoot Nanny in October, presented by Cheerwine, to Haven Farm. And it's going to be better than ever.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. So many great events in the works at Haven Farm. What can people expect at the Country Water event?
Yes, so this Country Water Celebration is on September 15th from 5:30 to 8:30. We're going to have live music provided by Will West, kind of a blend of Americana and folk with dancing music or food from the butcher's market and other local vendors, children's activities, and of course, sipping on some country water at sunset.
All right, and really quickly, where can folks get tickets?
At nceatandplay.com.
All right. Thanks so much for telling us about the Country Water Celebration. Leslie, Tana, and Megan, cheers to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll certainly be keeping our eye on country water as well as the water that Dahlia is bringing our way. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. It is on the coast of Florida right now, but our coast will be feeling some of the effects.
It definitely will. I should do this a couple of times, but in case you just happen to turn on the TV, currently a few of our counties along the coast are under a tropical storm watch. That was new with the latest advisory from the National Hurricane Center. So some tropical storm force gusts that could be anywhere from 40 to 60 mile per hour gusts and some minor storm surge, probably 1 to 3 feet. And this is likely going to be upgraded to a tropical storm warning as the storm gets a little closer. This stretches all the way down to Myrtle Beach and Georgetown. And then south of that, it is already a tropical storm warning. Speaking of tropical storm warning, right here, we're looking at one of these rain bands moving right up the Keys. We took a look earlier in the newscast at Key West, and they were definitely seeing some heavy rain and some windy conditions. Some of these rain bands now moving onshore in Cape Coral and the southwestern portion of Florida. And of course, this is likely to continue to move northward, and we'll see more of those rain bands pushing onshore. We take a look at the big picture. picture. And you can see up around Tampa, some rain bands moving in. So some cloud cover, some rain starting to arrive there. And the heaviest rain, of course, is going to be north of Tampa at the center of the storm. Now 320 miles southwest of Tampa with 85 mile per hour winds. It is likely to rapidly increase to a category 3 as it makes landfall. Boy, the computer models are in very good agreement about where that storm is likely to be brushing the coast of South Carolina and then hitting the Wilmington area and moving off the coast. After that, it loses its steering currents. Upper level winds are what moves these storms along, and those just begin to fizzle out, and the storm's just potentially going to sit there or move very slowly. And because of that, and because of the fact that it'll still be a fairly large system, it will likely produce a lot of wave action along our coast, which will produce some erosion. We take a look at Futurecast following the storm, and you can see lots and lots of rain tonight into tomorrow before or as it's making landfall here around 10 a.m. on Wednesday, pushing rain up ahead of it into our part of North Carolina. By the middle of the afternoon tomorrow, we'll see some heavy rain overnight and into the day Thursday. And then after that, as it pulls away, it's going to take the rainfall with it. And most likely by Thursday evening, the rain is moving out of our viewing area and eventually off the coast, leaving Friday fairly dry. Taking a look at Futurecast, a little bit of sunshine trying to break out this afternoon. The possibility of an isolated thunderstorm after sunset or so, along with a cold front. And then after that, of course, we'll start to see that rain moving in on Wednesday. It's likely to be after lunchtime, so the morning commute will probably be fairly dry, but the evening commute is going to be pretty messy. Right at lunchtime, a few light showers around Fayetteville. Around 4 or 5 in the afternoon, we start to see that rain becoming much heavier. So it is likely to be wet for most people for the evening commute. Some of that rain will be heavy. It'll be breezy, but the strongest winds will likely be late Wednesday night into early Thursday morning. You can see Wednesday at 10 p.m., plenty of rain. Again, that does continue until we get into the afternoon on Thursday. This is a look at our flooding threat. It's a low to medium risk. We'll have a better chance of some of the heavier rain in our southern and eastern counties. You can see on Thursday that threat, that medium threat is in our eastern counties. We take a look at some of the rainfall. By 11 o'clock, we're looking at half an inch to an inch, but some of those totals as we get into the end of the day Thursday could be 3 to 5 inches in our southern counties, 2 to 4 in our central counties, and up near the Virginia line, we just may not see a whole lot of rain. Flash flooding would be our biggest threat. Winds will be gusting 25 to 40 miles per hour, 25 north and west. Our chance of 40 is going to be south and east. And then, of course, we have a small tornado threat in our southeastern counties. Right now, we're looking at a warm middle of the day, 82 degrees. We'll see mid-80s for the next couple of days, but Thursday is likely to be cool with the rain, and then hotter and drier for the weekend. We'll be right back with your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Governor Roy Cooper has issued a state of emergency with Hurricane Idalia expected to bring flash flooding and tropical storm force winds to our state. WRL Severe Weather Team is tracking potential impacts for both Wednesday night and Thursday. Idalia is expected to become a Category 3 hurricane before making landfall in Florida tomorrow morning.
In just over an hour, the man charged with shooting and killing a faculty member on UNC's campus yesterday will make his first court appearance. This morning, WRL broke the news that Tai Lei Chi is charged with murdering his faculty advisor, Zijie Yan. If convicted, the maximum punishment for Chi would be life in prison.
And we're also learning more about the victim from that shooting. Zijie Yan was an associate professor at UNC Chapel Hill. He joined the university's Department of Applied Physical Sciences in 2019. Chi was a doctoral student, and Professor Yan wrote several academic papers with him over the last years.
Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are scheduled to talk with lawmakers in Washington, D.C. about the future of artificial intelligence. Tech leaders will gather next month for the first in a series of policy forums on AI. The gathering is meant to lay a foundation for senators as they begin to draft legislation to regulate the fast-moving AI industry. GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy apparently got lost in the music during a campaign stop. Now, rapper Eminem is banning the politician from using his songs. The Detroit rapper sent Ramaswamy a cease and desist letter after a video of the candidate at the Iowa State Fair went viral. And it showed the presidential hopeful rapping to Eminem's Lose Yourself. Ramaswamy's campaign plans to leave the rapping to the real Slim Shady.
African-American Cultural Festival returns to downtown Raleigh this weekend, and WRL is a proud community partner. The two-day festival takes place along Fayetteville Street. Enjoy delicious food, vibrant African artwork and jewelry, as well as family village there, with fun crafts for young children. This will be the 14th year for the festival. NBC News Daily is next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. We hope you have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.